This is Rainmaker FM, the digital marketing podcast network. It's built on the Rainmaker platform, which empowers you to build your own digital marketing and sales platform. Start your free 14-day trial at rainmakerplatform.com.
Hello, this is Amy Harrison, and you're listening to Hit Publish, where I cover simple ways to get better results with your online business. Who's that at the door? Oh, yes. This week we have a special guest. Come on in. I've invited expert podcaster John Naster to come round to the Hit Publish house and share his top tips for conducting interviews, because interviews can help you grow a really engaged audience for your business. So that's what we're going to look at today. I want to thank you for downloading this podcast, and I want to thank Rainmaker FM for hosting it. So are you ready to access the cheats, the tips, the hacks that will give you some serious interview skills and boost your business credibility? Let's Hit Publish. Now, while John fills the kettle for a cup of tea...
No, not in there, John. The teaspoons are in the top drawer.
While John navigates the kitchen, I want to give a quick shout out to a comment on a previous Hit Publish show. A couple of weeks back, we looked at how storytelling techniques from Alfred Hitchcock and Walt Disney could help build anticipation for your product or service. Now, Francisco, who I think is a designer, wrote in to say how these techniques really made him think about Apple's marketing, how they managed to build a story about the problem, the results people want, and then tell this story that builds great suspense for the release of their latest development. I thought this was great. Apple is a cracking example for marketing done well and stories told really well. If you haven't heard that episode of Hit Publish, you can go to hitpublish.fm. It's called The Overlooked Details That Can Get Your Business Noticed. And don't forget to leave your own comments or questions. I received one last week from Tony about getting people engaged with your digital marketing, and that is going to form the basis of next week's show. So thank you to Francisco for sending in your comment, and thanks to everyone else who has been commenting on the Hit Publish shows. I would love to hear from you. Now it's time for the word of the week. This week's word, which I will hide somewhere in the podcast, is larrikin, which means disorderly or rowdy. So keep your ears open for this one, because you won't find it in the transcript. It's hidden only for you, my keen listener. So today's episode's all about conducting interviews. No. Conducting great interviews to build an engaged audience. And it comes from a Dear Amy submission by Hit Publish listener Julie. Dear Amy, after listening to the Hit Publish episode about getting the best audio for podcasts, I've been toying with the idea of starting a podcast for my design business. I love talking to people. I'm quite chatty and I'd love to interview design experts, but don't know where to start and don't want to make a fool out of myself. Do you have any tips for getting started? Yours talkatively, Julie. Well, Julie, I haven't done a huge amount of interviews in my life, but I know a man who has. Oh, and here he is with the tea. And look at that. We've even got some digestive biscuits on a plate. Looks like we are ready to begin. So let's have some exciting interview music. John Naster hosts Hack the Entrepreneur. He's interviewed over 100 entrepreneurs and gets them to share their biggest hacks and tips that have helped them in their success. John also hosts a podcast about podcasting with the lovely Jared Morris called Showrunner. I'll link to all of these in the show notes. What's more, John and Jared have developed a system for creating your own podcast for your business. So if this idea of podcasting is whetting your appetite, John has some more details about it at the end of this episode. But the first thing I wanted to know is, why on earth would a business want to use interviews as part of their content marketing mix?
Using interviews is great is because, well, one main reason is that you get other people or experts, if you can get a hold of them, to create the content for you. You don't have to worry about creating like a full piece.
So it seems that in addition to putting out valuable content by choosing great experts to interview, it can also ease the burden for creating content. Well, as someone who has struggled with consistent publishing in the past, I am all for this. But now I want to know, with billions of people in the world, how do you know who to choose to interview?
So this is all about knowing your audience now, where you really, really have to. And I'm going to go back to the podcasting version of it. And for podcasting, you should be always speaking to one person, not to a massive audience, because one person has headphones on or is in their car or on the train on the way to work listening to you. And you have to know that person. You have to know what that person needs. And then you have to produce a piece of content that either is going to entertain, educate, or inspire them in some way. If you can somehow create a mix of those, then you're totally golden. And a mistake that lots of people make, I made this mistake myself, was trying to get the most popular people in your market first. I mean, they got a Twitter following of 500,000 people. My podcast will be just, it'll go through the roof as soon as they come on. It doesn't happen. That's not the way it works. I mean, what? They might come on your show. They might come on your show, but it doesn't change it. And I've interviewed some amazing people. I mean, all of them are amazing, but I mean, amazing in the platform or the audience they have. And then I've interviewed some people that I thought were really, really brilliant people, but they have like 300 Twitter followers. And those shows are so much more popular, it seems, within iTunes, within my audience. And so it's really interesting. And that allows you then to understand your audience more and then to be able to provide that value, right? So I think that the key is to really, really, really know that, know your audience, and then provide that value to them in a way that is going to sort of take them on this transformation and either inspire them, educate them, or just kind of entertain them, right? So you need to know that. And if you don't know that, then it's going to be really hard to find the right person. But there is no like correct, like you need this person with this amount of audience or has written 3 books or has a, you know what I mean? Like there's no metric otherwise except for your audience and what will take them through that transformation you're trying to help take them through.
John says that there is no definitive metric for choosing a guest. So don't be swayed by the number of social media followers they have, for example. The key is choosing someone who's going to have information that your audience loves. What's more, sometimes it's the little known guests that get the biggest audience engagement. So head out there online, find some people that will excite you, your listeners, or your readers. Okay, you found someone, you think they'll be perfect. What can you now do to encourage people to say yes to your interview?
The biggest tip for trying to get people to say yes is you just have to get over yourself that the fact that people are going to say no to you. it's basics of life, right? People will say no to you when you ask them things. It's just, that's it. And you have to know that, well, if I don't ask them and then they have automatically basically said no because they're not coming on. So I might as well ask. And I mean, there's ways to ask so that you can increase the likelihood of that. Keep your email short. Keep your email specific. Tell specifically why your guest in like one sentence or two sentences. Tell them why what they produce would be beneficial to your audience and quickly in like one sentence explain your audience to them so that they can tell that, wow, this person actually has researched me. This person doesn't just want me for my audience. They actually know that I will fit the show. And keep it short is just such a really big thing. I mean, typically, even people who don't have massive audiences are still busy. We still get lots of emails, and it's way easier for somebody to ignore your request if it's too darn long. Like, just keep it to the point and keep it all based on sort of the value they can provide. And then also, what can you provide for them? Who is your audience? And how many, like, how big is your audience? Even if your audience is 200 people, most people want to, if you could offer them a room with 200, your audience, 200 people in there, and you ask them and they were, it was easy for them to just digitally speak to you via Skype or speak to your audience, they totally would, right? So don't underestimate the power of your audience, even if your audience isn't massive at this point. And really show that to your guest. Like, they have to show that you understand them, show that you know who they are and you've done some research, and then show what value you can provide back to that guest for being on your show. That's just what people need, right? And then they will sort of be like, oh, wow, this will help my business in this way. Plus, it'll help them as well, but it can't be all about you. So you have to kind of switch that, but you have to do this in a quick, effective way. I mean, there's endless blog posts out there or YouTube videos where you can just type into Google, like how to reach out to people, basically, and how to reach out to people above you. And just, they'll give you great tips. And really the best one is to show that value and then keep it very, very, very short if you can. I mean, there's nothing worse than this email I get that's like 3 pages long. It's like, sorry, this could be the coolest show ever to be on, but I'm too busy to read all of this. Like, this isn't, now you're not, if you can't quickly, it's the elevator pitch, I guess. If you can't quickly tell me about your show and about what value I can provide, what value you can provide, then it's probably not going to be a good fit for me.
While it would be lovely to have a guarantee that everyone will say yes, unfortunately that won't happen. But there are things that you can do to minimize rejection. One, respect the time of your guest. Make your requests short and to the point, particularly if you're emailing them. Two, show that you've researched them. Show that you know something about them, their business, or their industry. And three, explain why there would be value for them to appear in front of your audience. Let them know what they'll get out of it. Whew, look at you now. You've found someone, you've got them on board. Now it's time to ask the questions. So how does John, after doing hundreds of shows, know what to ask his guests?
Yeah, and I definitely outline my... I outline questions. Like I have a sheet in front of me that has 5 times as many questions as I need, but, and then they follow sort of themes of what I might want to cover. And you have to, again, you have to know your audience completely and what it is they're looking for and what can help them. And then you have to be controlling somewhat of the conversation, but you also have to let the conversation sort of flow where it's going to naturally flow. And so I found the best way was when I was starting, especially because I was nervous, like interviewing people. I've never done this before. And so I kept sort of themes on this sheet in front of me on my desktop. And so if all of a sudden they started talking about like habits, then it's like, okay, now I got 5 questions in habits. And then I could... The way I've now naturally learned to do it is I have that question, and so all of a sudden it goes to habits. I ask them a question about habits. They give me great answer, and as they're giving me the answer, I'm sort of jotting down stuff they're saying so I can kind of repeat it back if I need to. And then I do one follow-up question on every response that they give. And some people go further. I mean, if you're like Tim Ferriss and you have a 4-hour podcast, you can take it down that like wormhole and go just... And that's just not my style, right? I really try and keep, well, my shows are all 30 minutes or less. I'm trying to keep it concise for my audience because I know that's what they want. They're on their commute to work and they only have so much time. And so I like to follow up because without a follow-up, it's hard to really get the guest engaged. And so I do that one follow-up, but then after that, it's like I decide where I want to take it. And having sort of the themes, it's like, okay, now I want to talk work or projects. And then I can just move to the project section and sort of know how the conversation has gone. And then I can pick one of those questions and go from it. And so, I mean, each guest will be different. And you have to sort of, this is something that if you're sitting down for your first interview, I mean, it sounds like I'm doing a whole ton of stuff, but I am sort of, but I've also interviewed like 125 people in the last 8 months at this point, right? So I've done it a few times now, but a year ago, I had never interviewed anybody in my life. And so it's one of those things that does take practice, but there are ways and there are sort of things you can do to help yourself to set yourself up to make it easier and make it sort of flow. But again, just think about your audience. If your audience has an hour to listen and they love to listen to you for an hour, then by all means, you can take that conversation that far. And so maybe you can do 2 or 3 follow-up questions, but you have to know your audience. This isn't for you. This isn't for your guests. This is strictly being created, and this conversation is for your audience.
John recommends that you have a structure, but keep it flexible so that you don't stifle the conversation with a rigid format. Respect your audience preferences so that the content matches the time they have to listen to the podcast and reflects the depth of knowledge that they want to gain. Developing a structure helps make sure your interview doesn't become larrikin. John also shared with me a cheat of his for keeping things flowing and making sure people stay engaged. I love cheats.
I've now created like a PDF that I've printed out each time, and it's got different sections where I can write things down as the conversation's going. Like, I fully cheat. I completely cheat. I have the person's name in bold so that I can say their first name back to them as we're talking, because I also know on Skype, because we can't see each other, we're not in the same room, it's hard to stay engaged sometimes, and I want my guest engaged. If my guest is engaged, I'm engaged. If we're both engaged in the conversation, then my audience will probably be engaged in it as well. So I try and tie them back by saying, because sometimes people are on a cell phone, like on their Skype, and they're in a busy office. Like, these are busy people. I have to kind of work around them to a certain degree. And so it's kind of like, well, but Bill, when you said this, and then I like go back like 5 minutes in the conversation I've written down, all of a sudden they're like, whoa, this guy just said, it's one of those innate psychology things, right? Where, oh, my first name, I love hearing my first name. I'm back in the conversation, right? So you have to do that. And I think that when I said you have to either entertain, inspire, or educate, it also has to be doing that to me, the person involved in the conversation. If I'm not engaged in that, in any of those levels, then I don't think anybody else listening could also be engaged. So it's kind of key. And I guess that would be probably even a better answer to your question about picking guests, is don't just pick them because you think they have massive audience. Pick them because you're truly like interested in them and what they could bring and what you guys are going to talk about on your show. Because without that level of engagement of your own, there's no way it's going to be interesting to listen to for others. And trust me, in my 120 shows, there's been over 20 of them now that actually have not gotten published, and they won't, because something was just off and mm-hmm. we couldn't get engaged. And if I find myself, my mind wandering during a conversation, then it's kind of like, well, if my mind's wandering, I bet you my audience is also going to be like, whoa, just go to the next podcast, right? There's quite a few podcasts out there right now to choose from.
Remember, you also have to be engaged with your guest. If you're not, or if you're getting bored, your audience will know. So combat this by making sure you pick people who genuinely excite you. Now, it's the moment of truth. Your guest is on the line. How can you get the best from them?
Very, very, very highly value their time. Somebody tells me they book it with my booking link and they schedule 10:30 a.m. to 11. I don't come on Skype at 10:38. And then talk to them for 20 minutes and then be like, now our appointment's almost over. And I'm like, okay, now we're going to probably get started. You can't. If I schedule a half hour for you with all my jibber jabber before and after, I have half hour with you. Anything else is me not valuing your time. And then they're going to be kind of resentful already from the beginning. And that's not cool, right? So right on time. And then it's instantly like, okay, I'm going to do the intro after. Don't worry about that. I'll just say hi to you. And my audience is this. I specifically say who my audience is in one sentence. And then I say, we're trying not to teach from a third person. I want to teach just by you. When I give you a question, don't tell me what entrepreneurs are supposed to do. Tell me what you do as an entrepreneur. That's all the game we have to play. There's nothing I'm going to ask you that's going to be like, I need five reasons for this. I just tell me your specific answer to it. And now let's roll. And then everyone's kind of, it gets them like, yeah, cool, this is great, right? And they know who they're talking to. They know what they're supposed to do. So they feel like they're providing value. So they feel better about themselves now. And that's it. And then if it's coming up on like 26 minutes, it's kind of like, okay, I got to wrap up. And I'll even say, okay, I got to wrap up because and then that's it. We do the final. And make sure to always give your guest at the end, either you do it for them, or else allow them to always, always, always promote themselves. That's why they're on there. They're on there to provide your audience with information and useful content, but then they also want to promote something. That's why they're there. Probably themselves, probably their business, or probably like their Twitter or their Facebook, something. But allow them that. Don't cut that off of them and not let them do that, because now at the end, they're like, whoa, what the heck? I gave and gave and gave, and then it was just like, bye, see you. Like, so that's it. Make it value their time. Tell them exactly what you want, who they're speaking to, and then allow them to promote what it is they want to promote.
Again, John recommends that you value your guest's time. Show up on time and keep within the set time that you have outlined for the interview. Also, let them know who they're going to be addressing so that they've got a feel of your audience. And importantly, let them promote their business, product, or service. Oh, and if you really want to get good results from your guest, don't be afraid to give them a little confidence boost before they go on.
And then also, it sounds like you give them a bit of a, almost like a bit of a boost by encouraging them that anything that they say is going to be okay. So it's not, you know, you're not going to spring on them, okay, and give us your top five tips for then a very specific problem that they may not have in their head at that particular time. You're saying, you know, anything that you say is great because we're interested in you. And I would feel like that would give them a bit of confidence and also make them relax a little bit.
Exactly. Yeah, no, it does. It makes me relax because I've been interviewed on a show and then three quarters of the way through, it's like, can you give me seven reasons yeah. why this? And it's like, are you kidding? I'm sitting there like, what? Like, and you're trying to like figure this out in your head. It's like, what are you doing? Yeah. You need seven steps to something. You should at least tell me beforehand.
I've had exactly the same experience, and you kind of get to step five and you think, hang on, did I say that one? Was that step two? I don't know. And then, yeah. And you just feel like, do I not know my stuff? Like, should exactly. I just have, but you don't walk around with these sort of lists in your head. So I usually like a bit of prep, a little right. bit, if, you know, unless it is sort of, unless it's conversational content, which, you know, how do you particularly do this? Well, you know, I can answer those questions most of the time.
Exactly. Yeah. And so to even have that thought in the back of my head, sometimes going into being interviewed myself, it kind of, you're always kind of thinking ahead, like, are they going to ask me some crazy question that I don't know the answer to? And so I want to just put my guest at ease, right? Because that allows for a more natural, just a good conversation. And that's key, right? That's key for my audience.
Wow. Do you think you're ready to do your own yet? Here's what John has to say if you're thinking about testing the waters with podcast interviews.
There's no testing waters. You got to just do this. It's a lot of work. It really, really, really is. Even if you want to do one interview a week and produce it out into valuable content through audio, through a podcast, and then transcribing it. It's a lot of work, but it's super, super, super valuable. It works really, really well. It can build an audience for you or your business really quite quickly if it's done right. Like as I said, a year ago, I had never interviewed anybody at this point. And now I've interviewed over 120 people, and I have two podcasts on the Rainmaker.fm network, which is, to me, pretty impressive. And it's all based on the fact that I had never interviewed anybody. I just literally one weekend, I was like, I'm going to start interviewing people, and I'm going to be terrible. But by the time I interview 100 people, people will think I'm an expert, and also I'll be really good at it. And it was funny, like episode like 98 or something, and I ended up on like XFM radio being like an expert on interviewing business people. And I'm like, wow, it actually happened a couple episodes before 100, but it was just numbers I had made up. But it was hard. I sweated before my first 20 interviews, and then I figured out this system of how to do it, right? And I've got these PDFs made. I've got these sheets on my computer that I can kind of helps me through the process now, and this is possible, right? So, and then obviously now we've gone further, and we've now created a podcasting course for Copyblogger and for Rainmaker, which is the Showrunner podcasting course. And within this, we've kind of backtracked through everything that I've done over the past year. And then also with Jared Morris from The Lead, we've taken what he's done over the years in podcasting, and we've kind of created a system out of it so that other people can follow it and literally like use every email template I use to get guests since the very beginning. The PDF that I print out when I'm doing interviews, all of that stuff is there. Because there is a system to it. After you've done 120 interviews, there is a system that you can work out to really make this a lot easier on yourself, but it's still not going to be easy. It's still a ton of work, and it's not like an easy path to riches or anything by any means. Like, I work my butt off, and I have for the past 9 or 10 months at this point. But it can be done, and I strongly suggest people to do it. Like, now's kind of the time, and you can interview people in any market that you're in. If you interview the people that are considered experts or the people that are experts in there, like, just eventually through osmosis, you not only do you learn so much from these conversations yourself, but you get put beside them as also an expert. It's by far the quickest way I can figure out to become an expert in a market is to interview other experts within your market. And that to me is awesome. Like, that's a great, great thing. And I love helping other people do it at this point.
And when you sign up, what can you expect?
It's a course, and it's completely self-paced. There's 12 modules at this point, and then so you can go through it. Depending on where you are, we had people that have been podcasting for 2 years already, and we've had people who want to podcast in the next year join. So when we're launching August 3rd for 2 weeks or almost 2 weeks, but we have done two previous small pilot launches only to our email list that we built solely from the Showrunner podcast. And so we have just over 200 people that joined us so we could kind of work out the kinks of the course and then see how people wanted to go through it. But it's completely self-paced in that way. And then Jared and I every 2 weeks we do a live Q&A session with the members. So we answer everyone's questions live. And then those all get posted to the bonus module at the end. So those are always there if you can't make it. And the one thing that has kind of shocked both Jared and I, though, is we created a Facebook group, a private Facebook group with only people in the Showrunner course, where you can get like real time feedback on, oh, I just got some artwork made by my designer, right? So here's four different designs. And so rather than you just at home being like, oh, I wonder, like, what will my audience like? Now you just go in there, drop the four pictures and say, my audience is this. And then instantly you have like 50 people telling you all these things, like, wow, that's amazing. And that's been, we did it sort of as an afterthought, the Facebook group. I don't even think it was on the original sales page for the original pilot launch. And we're just like, oh, let's put this in there. And it's been amazing. People have just been freaking out about the community you get and the support you get as you are creating this show in sort of like your own little abyss, right? You're by yourself usually doing these things. You don't have a big network around you of just people you can bounce all these ideas off of. And so that's been really, really, really valuable. And also been a great place where people are like, well, in module 3, this video was a little bit confusing. And so we'd like, okay, now we go back and like, let's clarify that. Or else we can ask, like, are other people having issues? Like, yeah, no, I had trouble too. And so we fixed it all and made everything better. So yeah, there's the 10 modules at this point, and they're all video-based, and then they all also have a text component to them, like text version of each in case you prefer to read on your iPad if you wish. And then you can also just download an audio version of each of the videos, which lots of people have been enjoying for their commutes to work and stuff. If you can't watch a video, you can at least listen to the audio versions of each. And then literally like every template, every PDF, every email I've ever written and used to create Hack the Entrepreneur, we've thrown in there for people to, rather than starting with a blank slate, like, oh, I got to write this email to find guests. It's like, well, here's one. Use this as close as you want. It's worked really well for me since the very beginning. And then I kind of explain it in a video how and why it works. And then people can just run with it, right? And you're just not stuck. It's not a blank page for everything anymore. It's literally, here's a system. This works. It's still a ton of hard work. But if you follow the system, it will at least allow you to hopefully get traction quicker.
So here's my question to you. Even if you're not going to do a podcast, how could you interview an expert to build the credibility of your business, deliver great content, and engage your audience? Perhaps you do an audio interview and you simply transcribe it and use it as a blog post. I'd love you to write down 5 people you would like to interview and then commit to contacting at least one of them this week. Head over to hitpublish.fm and let me know, if you could interview anyone for your business, who would it be and why? I love getting to know more about your business, so share what you do, who your audience is, and who you think they'd love to hear from. I'll put more details about the Showrunner podcasting course in the show notes, so sign up and you'll be the first to know when doors open to new members. Thank you for being a fabulous Hit Publish listener. If you found this useful today, I'd love it if you popped over to iTunes and left a rating or a review. It takes a couple of minutes, but I've heard that when you do leave a rating for Hit Publish, Karma stores up an extra few points just for you. And don't forget, if you'd like to be featured in the Dear Amy column, simply leave a comment on the show page with your question or problem, or email me using hello@writewithinfluence.com. That's all for this week. So until next time, remember to take action and hit publish.